You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey, another Cooligans episode. Look at this, kicking it old school.
Sure, you know, remote days. We're just, reminiscing on those great times in 2020 when we were all stuck at home. You know what I mean?
There was no negativity, right? I can't remember what the reason why we were stuck at home. A lockdown. I don't think lockdown's ever been positive, regardless of what it is.
Exactly. No, it was just 2020. I'm just gonna tell my son that it was a sabbatical year. You know, we all just took collectively. Yeah. We took a break.
Never happened. We're all 2 years younger. You know what I mean? Because those 2 years did not happen. We just magically at the same age, one day after the other, we just learned how to make sourdough bread. That's the only thing.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of the Cooligans. Shout out to everybody new and old tuning in. Shout out to everybody who checked out the Brendan Hunt interview. Shout out to everybody who saw us on the storefront at Adidas. Okay,
we have a lot to talk about today. Yeah, maybe your boys are a little bit models all of a sudden yet again.
A little lot models. Okay, we're pivoting careers. All right,
that's right. You know what? Most people are like, Alexis, you've not monitored your carb intake your entire life. What is your plan? And I said, it's to model.
Okay. For everybody who doubted me, we did it. All right?
Yo, it's for everyone who said, hey, maybe you shouldn't be doing this.
clearly they were wrong. So what's good, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero, so you already know.
We out here at home on President's Day, not celebrating any presidents. Every president is bad, okay?
Nah, so DraftKings is our president.
Let's go. Okay, that's a draft I could sign up for, all right?
Yeah, so if the British got this option, I don't think they'd be upset about the draft.
Okay, we might take away President's Day, bro. They've been letting us down. Anyway, we have a lot to go over today. Obviously, the Premier League title race is getting crazy. We got to talk about Harry Kane taking another L in Germany, and a lot to go over in MLS. It is MLS starts this week, so MLS is back, so we'll preview that and get that started as well. So Premier League title race, a couple big results recently.
The big question really is, Liverpool got a lot of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Manchester City just drew at Chelsea. Arsenal aren't too far, but Liverpool are still top. Do you think Liverpool could hang on?
As of right now, I'm going to say yes, because they don't necessarily look like they're, even though they're dealing with injuries players at AFCON or whatever, they still seem pretty good, and they're beating the teams that they're supposed to beat. You know, that's the concern sometimes. It's not the matches against the other top six clubs. It's like, you're supposed to beat Crystal Palace. You're supposed to beat Luton Town. You're supposed to get these victories, and they still make it look pretty easy. So is Arsenal right now. For that
Thank
matter,
you.
They're beating.
Thank
they're
you.
Beating.
And we'll get there.
They're beating teams.
But you mentioned how Liverpool, you're pretty confident. What if I were to tell you that on February 25th they go away to Stamford Bridge? 3 days later, on February 28th. They play, that's EFL Cup, by the way. I believe the EFL Cup semifinal or final, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that's the final.
Yeah.
An FA Cup, 3 days later, they play Southampton. It's a title. It's a trophy. It's a big match you want to play in. So I doubt maybe he'll be resting a lot of players. But 3 days after that, on March 2nd, he goes away to Nottingham Forest, the team that's fighting to stay up, right? They obviously don't want to drop points, so they're going to be going for it. And then just 8 days after that, which is, again, you just had three matches in about 9 days, but now 8 days later, you go to Manchester, where Manchester City comes to Anfield. And then 7 days after that, they've got Everton. They go to Goodison, which is
going to be their most challenging fixture. Clearly, I'm glad you highlighted that one, because that's the one that they're really terrified of.
It's still a derby, regardless of your favorite club being absolute basura. but think about that stretch. You have in a 9 day period, you have 3 big matches, and your gift for surviving that is Manchester City comes to Anfield.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a tough stretch with the amount of injuries they've had. Knowing that. Are you still confident?
I mean, confident. I'm not going to use the word confident. Do I think they can do it? Yes. The other teams also have to do it. They also have to play a couple tough matches here and there. So could there be a change in who's in first by the, you know, in the next few weeks? Of course. But do I think Liverpool could ultimately? I don't know how serious the injury for. I think it was Diogo Jota that got that left the game. I don't know how serious his injury is.
Trent Alexander-Arnold also has an undisclosed injury.
But he should be. They said 6 weeks, and I think we're already in like the fourth week or something like that. So it's not impossible that they can still hold on.
But now let me tell you Manchester City's fixtures on the way to that Liverpool match. Okay. So Liverpool just beat Brentford. Brentford have to go to Etihad. Okay, I don't think they'll have as much success as Chelsea had there, but Brentford go to Etihad. Then Man City has to go to Bournemouth. Pretty winnable match for Manchester City. Mm-hmm. Then they go to Luton. Look, the way Luton plays gives them problems, but it's still Manchester City. It's still going to be a big match. I think we all have confidence that Manchester City will come out on top. That's an FA Cup match. But then after that, Premier League match, Manchester City welcome Manchester United. Then they play FC Copenhagen in a Champions League.
Yeah.
And then they go to Anfield. Other than Manchester United, that seems like a relatively light run-up compared to what Liverpool have to handle. And Liverpool's got a ton of injuries. Okay. Now, are you less confident?
Again, you're throwing the word confidence around.
Are you less confident?
am I less confident that Liverpool can hold on? No, not necessarily. Manchester City.
I don't know, man.
Will have these. Look at the match against Chelsea. They should have won that game. They had, you know, so much of the ball. They had some pretty good chances. Obviously, Rodri with the late equalizer. But overall.
What he did in the Champions League final.
Yeah.
Look, Erling Haaland's not going to miss 9 shots again.
Exactly. Which is, what's up with him? What is his deal? Why is
I love that he had one bad game and we're like, did they not plug him in at night? What happened here?
They didn't charge him, bro. I know he's been injured and missed a couple games, but it's not really. Look, he's a player that is not. Haaland is not touching the ball all game. You know, he's not really. I know Manchester City might have like 95% possession in a match, but Haaland is like. 0.3 of those. He's not really in the mix like that. He's like, yo, get me to rock. You know where I'll be. Throw it up here, and he points at his head, but he ends up doing a double bicycle kick or whatever. You know what I mean?
He's just put it up in the general area, and part of my body will hit it. Don't worry about it.
One of my limbs will get there. Some appendage. I ain't gonna tell you which.
Right.
Okay.
An Erling Haaland appendage will hit that ball.
Okay, ladies. And
you know what? Honestly, start placing your bets now.
Okay, but that should be a prop bet on draft. Kings. Will Erling Haaland smash a ball with his genitals? Hey, who knows?
Hey, the odds are good.
Here, my man. So the game against Chelsea, there was we're not used to seeing Manchester City have these like have these like cracks in the armor, just a little, they just look a little bit, they're giving up these, the goals that they do give up are usually on counters.
It's the only way to score against them. You're not going to tiki-taka them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Cause you see that there's just you can see the frustration, especially in the forwards for any opposing team. And you saw it with Chelsea, like Raheem Sterling kind of like, trying to, like, when you try to press them at all to try to just even make them uncomfortable or make them, or put them in a position where they might make a mistake, they're just never going to make a mistake. Like, it's quite remarkable to watch every single player at every single position never put a bad touch on the ball. Just literally ever. And it can be...
There's no way to win. There's zero ways to win.
A counter on some weird bouncing ball, some silly kind of, nothing that is like, it's never usually self-inflicted. That's the interesting thing with Man City. Those moments are starting to occur a little bit more. And if a team is even a little bit clinical, they get burned. I mean, Chelsea had how many shots in that game? 3-4? To Man City's definitely over 10. And so it's getting a little nervy, my hot take here is that look at that. So the
producer told Chelsea had nine Manchester City had
31.
Boy, that's crazy. 31.
So I was off by just a little bit. I thought it was at least double digits.
Yeah.
Okay. My memory didn't serve me well. I did watch the game, but this is my hot take here. Out of all the teams, I don't think Man City is winning the title again. I don't think they, given some of these concerns and them kind of slipping a little bit, and then seeing how Arsenal are playing, which again they're beating the teams that they need to beat, but they're beating them by a lot of goals. I mean, the goal differential.
They also beat Liverpool. In this little run-up everybody's talking about, in the last five matches, I believe it's a plus 19 goal differential for Arsenal. People be like, oh, they're beating bad teams. West Ham's playing badly. Burnley's bad. They beat Liverpool.
Yeah, they did. I mean,
they beat Liverpool. That's after people were saying Arsenal can't score for an entire month and they need to go out and buy a striker. I may or may not have been one of those people. But people were saying
seem to have a prominent role on CBS sports television and you were saying these things.
Guys, do not believe this gotcha media, okay?
Bro, the mainstream media that I'm looking at my computer screen right now is really kind of a little problematic, all right? They're getting things
for
wrong.
For those of you listening and or watching this show, you know I haven't trusted me in forever. Why would you trust me? I mean, that's your fault.
That was your mistake, okay? You should listen to me when I tell you not to listen to me.
I mean, that's your problem. I've said it since day one. Don't listen to anything I'm saying. And now... Now you're going to listen to what I'm saying?
Hey.
You should have listened to what I was saying when I told you not to listen to what I was saying.
Bro, it's not confusing, all right? Learn.
It's very simple, bro. It's very simple.
But the last five results for Arsenal, 5-0 against Crystal Palace, 2-1 against Nottingham Forest, 3-1 against Liverpool, 6-0 to West Ham, 5-0 to Burnley. This is, we talk about Martin Odegaard a lot, or at least I do. I see him in my damn dreams. He is my favorite player.
I don't interrupt you ever when you talk about Martin Odegaard. I mean, sing this man's praises. What an absolute baller!
Just without a doubt, there's just such a. Again, we keep talking about the swag of Martin Odegaard. I don't know where he gets it from. Where is this Norwegian man? How does he move his hips that way? You know what? You know, Shakira's hips don't lie, but Martin Odegaard's do, because you don't know where his hips are going. His hips are constantly lying to you.
Her hips are lying. His are telling you the truth. you'll never know which way they're going. Okay. I mean, it is. It's been, as an Arsenal fan, it's been fun to watch. I remember when he came on loan from Real Madrid, people were like, oh, he's a bust. He's no good. And, Arteta and Nadu both said, like, now he's a player who's kind of never really felt at home at Real Madrid. Obviously, Zidane didn't rate him. So he didn't get a lot of opportunities there. Plus, he was very young. He was constantly going on loan. He went to Real Sociedad, and you saw him develop a little bit and start to show, but it wasn't until he came to Arsenal on loan that he really, really, really established himself as someone that, going forward, could provide you this level of talent, but could he do it consistently? Bro, they believed in him. They went and bought him. I mean, 30-something million seems like a steal now for this player. I mean, if Kevin De Bruyne is not in the Premier League, everyone is saying Martin Odegaard is the best midfielder in the league.
Yeah.
At least attacking midfielder.
Yeah, there's something. I mean, look, their games are pretty pretty similar. Kevin De Bruyne is unbelievable with both feet as far as, like, taking shots and making incredibly accurate passes. Like, you, it's hard to even tell what is Kevin De Bruyne's strong foot. We know Odegaard, his left is absolutely lethal. But right. that's like one part of his game that, you know, you could probably say is like kind of a weakness, but you can't really tell. Nobody's really taking the ball off of him. Nobody, he's not really misplacing passes. It's Arsenal right. are looking incredibly sharp these last few games. So look, they've needed it because they had that little bit of a slump towards the end of last year. So good on them. So look, we have a title race on our hands. It's not totally wrapped.
If you had to guess now, who do you think ends up on top?
Look, given the way they're playing, I mean, it feels like Arsenal have a real, real shot. Because in those games, the games against, do they have to play Liverpool? No, they've already played both
no.
messages. Oh, no, there's
we
one
took
left.
4 points off Liverpool. No, okay. We took 4 points off Liverpool. So we beat them, we drew them at home, and we beat them at our house.
So there's one.
But we do have Manchester City, which I believe is the final match of the season.
Okay, so that's gonna be those games against the top teams are gonna make such a huge difference. And
wait,
we'll
no,
see
no, it's not. It's no, not we have a lot games. More. Never mind.
Okay,
never mind. There's another page.
Okay,
there was another page.
Remember, like, don't listen to Alexis, everybody. Don't listen to Alexis.
I was like, this feels like not enough matches. You know what is the final match?
What is
Everton? Everton at the Emirates.
Okay, well we're gonna be spoilers. Let's go. Even though Everton lose every time at the Emirates.
Yeah.
After
your fourth point deduction.
Let's move on to a player that used to play in the Premier League and is now in the Bundesliga. Harry Kane at Bayern Munich. You know, we spoke last time of I think we spoke after the game with Bayer Leverkusen and Bayern Munich. But Bayern Munich has now also they've lost. Their Bundesliga match against VfL Bochum, if I'm pronouncing, hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. And now all the conversations and questions about Thomas Tuchel are up in the air again. We were sort of joking around about like the simply like Bayern, they've won so much, but as soon as they lose two games in a row, and all of a sudden, we got to burn it all down.
They're 8 points off top. I mean, if we wouldn't be saying this if it wasn't for Bayer Leverkusen being undefeated. You know, that's really ruined a lot for Harry Kane and Thomas Tuchel.
But Bayern Munich have won 13 times in a row. They are completely.
Yeah, but it's Harry Kane now going over there specifically to win a title.
But
is like if you're a virgin and you're like 50 years old and you go to a brothel and the moment you get there, the women go on strike. Do you understand how gut-wrenching that has to be?
Like, what?
You know what I'm saying?
Was it me? I mean, look. Go,
maybe it was me this whole time.
It's like, yo, I support unions, but I don't know why they have to start right now.
Yeah. I was hoping to make a specific union here.
I'll be honest. Because I'm pro-labor, all right? I will pick it with you after I just get this... I've become
if
a man.
I can just get this hump off my back. You know?
Okay, because I'll be honest, this thing is. I'm carrying this everywhere. This heavy weight. Okay,
yeah. Pretty painful at this point.
You know, even look, my mom got me the gift certificate here. What am I supposed to tell her?
She also bought me the 7 condoms I'm supposed to wear at the same time.
Have you seen? There was an article in the I think the New York Post or something that said that it was like a sex worker who was saying that basically saying like I'll never sort of be out of a job or basically the business is booming right now because a lot of my clients are basically sons of like the mothers buy their services for their sons who haven't lost their virginity. It's apparently.
Wait, there was an article about this?
There was an article about this. I think it was in the New York Post. And it's apparently a booming industry.
I want to remind everyone that my mother's never even come to see me perform. And these moms,
she's not gonna see you perform that either, bro.
But some of these moms are out here buying brothel gift certificates. That is incredible.
I got you a
what's it like to have supportive parents?
That is the what massive support. That's really you gotta love
seriously.
It.
Seriously. That's okay. The thick and thin, dude.
Okay. Millennial parents are different, dog. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, dog. I think Thomas Tuchel could have used some of these gift certificates. What's wrong with me? Because he looks stressed on the sideline. And I would too. I don't know if you heard what he said. He goes, you know, Harry Kane. Yeah, man, he's really good in training.
Mm.
And they were like,
oh yeah. How many points you get at training, huh?
You know, what's that table look like? You at the top? Just you?
Wow.
That's kind of like low key a bit of a diss, no?
I guess. I mean, it'd be. I mean, if he said he's bad at training, that's quite even more severe, right? That's not. There's no answer to that question that would make anybody feel good.
No, but they're like, yo, man, what's going on with Harry Kane? He's like, I don't know, man. Well, he's in training. He seems to be doing a good job, but once they blow that whistle, he just becomes a Tottenham player again.
It just feels like the energy that Bayern and the media tend to have around Bayern slipping up and is feels a little bit like it feels exaggerated. It feels like yo, we gotta. If we don't win, we can't pay Harry Kane or something. Like, you know what I mean? It just feels like the intensity is just like,
yeah,
yo, chill. Like, maybe that's the energy, maybe that's what the mood needs to be of like, we don't necessarily need to hit the panic button just because we're a couple points back. But it makes it tougher what's the comparison?
They have this insanely large wage bill. They're built specifically to win the league every year.
Yeah.
And I'm against it, but I was reading Soccernomics, I believe it's called.
Okay.
And they were talking about the people want, and I know this seems counterintuitive, but people want a super team or at least a couple of super teams. It's actually good for the league because the away games, people will tend to buy more tickets when they know this big, massive club is coming.
Right.
There's more. You want to beat everyone. If there's too much parity, then it just seems kind of it doesn't equate to the same activity and fun as
you don't have the David versus Goliath sort of.
Yeah, you don't have like the evil giant coming. Right. You don't have like the rival, the hated team. So to some degree, Bayern Munich being Bayern Munich, as boring as it makes it for everyone else, if you're a fan of Bundesliga, you're actually quite excited because you're like, all right, if you're a fan of Darmstadt and, you know, Mainz is coming.
Don't be saying Darmstadt like that, bro. Darmstadt.
I picked a
till I die,
team.
Dog.
Yeah. if you're Darmstadt and you know Mönchengladbach is coming, you're not much and glad to go buy that ticket, you feel me? But if you know Bayern Munich is coming,
right,
there's a bit of a different energy. You're like, yo, we want to go. We're gonna get to see Bayern Munich. Yo, Leverkusen got like, I think their wage bill is like 1/18th of that. I'm completely guessing, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a lot less Bayern Munich.
But let's be,
and they haven't lost at all.
And that's what I was gonna say before. The comparison is, you know, Bayern's comparing themselves to Leverkusen, who have not lost this season. How many times do we even have this situation in world football where there is a team that has not lost at all? And the reason these moments are
Arsenal.
Yes, of course we're going to bring that up. Yes, but the main thing is it's not going to happen often. And the fact that Bayern are playing, they're currently in a season where they're playing a team that is in the table that has not lost a game. I mean, this is it seems like it just feels like a thing where Bayern fans could be like, "All right, bro, yo, we have to take this L because look at the standard this season, undefeated. We're not undefeated, so our team is trash. We got to get rid of our manager because we've lost how many games? 4. I mean, it's not." It's more than, I think, you know, at this point in the season, it's probably more than they would like. But it's still only 4 losses. They're in second place, 4 points above
All right.
third place.
I looked this up. there's a website called Capology, which I don't know if that means salary cap or we're lying to you.
Right, right.
the study of lying, Capology. So here's what they say. The wage bill is for, you want to know Bayern Munich's or Bayer Leverkusen first?
I mean, Bayern Leverkusen's first because I know it's lower, clearly.
Okay. So here's Leverkusen. For, you want to hear the per week or for the total?
Total.
You want to do per week?
Per, yeah.
Okay.
Both.
All right, let's do per week. Per week, I have to figure out where the commas are here. Hold on. Okay, per week, they spend 2 million euros per week. It's actually 1,175,769. Okay. So we'll call it 1.2, 1.17, if you will. Bayern Munich's per week, okay?
Yeah.
5.2.
Okay, that's pretty significant.
You're in second place to a team spending 20% of what you're spending.
Correct. It is not great.
That's gut-wrenching, or 25%.
But that's the thing. You use the word gut-wrenching. Gut-wrenching, because you're saying that the standard should be that they should win all the time,
Christian,
even if a team Christian, has not lost one game at all.
Can I ask you a question, Christian? Christian, let's say you spent $50,000 on a very fast car,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I pull up next to you in a $12,000 car, and I beat you in a race. Will you not be upset? Be like, yo, why'd I spend 50K on this vehicle when my man in the hoopty just dusted me?
Okay, I mean, I...
That's Leverkusen. Leverkusen have never won the league, bro. Their nickname is Neverkusen, for God's sakes.
Wow.
You should not be losing to them.
But they have a manager that is got these players believing in themselves, bro. Okay.
Okay, well, then do you want to hear the biggest hot take, or not even the hot take, the biggest goss?
Go for it.
Is that, right, the rumor is that Xabi Alonso is the number one choice for Bayern Munich's manager.
I have heard that. Year. I mean, look, Bayern Munich, they...
Isn't that wild disrespectful?
they will rob you, okay? They see, you know...
Bro, they will buy your girl a ring while you're out on a date with her. That's Bayern Munich.
They'll be like, hey, oh, your wife is very nice. I want her. Okay.
Yeah. $1 million to spend a night with your wife. You're like, Jesus Christ, Bayern.
Damn, bro.
Can I get through the appetizers,
I would love to see the German version of Indecent Proposal, bro.
That's $1 million.
Okay. It'd be quite intense. Yeah, dude.
Man, these love scenes seem really robotic. Yeah.
But the yes, I have heard that. I think the look, to be in company and you know, be a potential, you know, a candidate for a manager of Bayern Munich is obviously incredibly flattering. It's a thing where it's fun to hear this sort of drama, you know, because we all kind of, even though Bayern always wins, especially because Bayern wins all the time, we kind of love when they get a little bit messy, a little bit dramatic, you know,
Well, we also been asking for this. Do you really want them to win 12 years in a row?
Right. Who was the manager before? Why am I forgetting his name? Rode the scooter.
Nagelsmann.
Julian Nagelsmann. Even during that whole thing, remember there was the game against Leverkusen. He was in the stands, right? And he was like, I think he was like smirking or something during the results. Like the cameras caught him a little bit and
boiling wheels to his kick scooter.
Okay, so that was even just having moments like that around. I think Bundesliga for the business of the game. I mean, I know you were talking about, you know, having the sort of villain, having the Goliath in the league. It excites fans to go see that team play. But realistically, Bundesliga has some of the greatest support in the world when it comes to from Bundesliga 1 or Bundesliga 2. The fans and the supporters are incredibly loyal. They sell out stadiums for regardless.
Yeah,
of...
But let's be honest. How much is that equated to their success internationally? Well, and you need that in order to compete.
Correct, and that's the point.
Some of the bigger clubs.
That's the point I was making. Is that this drama is not necessarily beneficial to what the league, the support within Germany. It's are we selling? Are we getting clicks? Are we getting engagement? Are people talking about our league? Yeah. And Bundesliga desperately needs that to grow and to compete with the other leagues. So that's the from the business standpoint. That's why people don't necessarily want Bayern to win all the damn time, because it gives us less drama, less excitement. We were so close. The last game of the season last year was beautiful. Of just like, oh my God, Dortmund might. Oh no! Okay, they didn't, and and so that part of it's exciting.
I think you and I would both agree that the thing the Premier League has done better than anyone else, second only to them, is probably Real Madrid, or I'm sure La Liga, is kind of understanding that you have to sell the drama within the league. You have to sell the storylines. Premier League isn't more interesting than any other league by virtue of anything other than every little thing that happens, they turn into this big telenovela of drama.
It is.
You know what I mean?
I mean,
they are the Cuban and Dominican mothers and aunts of all leagues.
People have said this. I'm not coming up with it, but sports and soccer and specifically, football specifically is you know the boy soap operas. Okay, we
100%.
we got our boy math, and we do everything here within the sport. Yeah. So it's
won't they?
it provides a level of interest and excitement. You know, when I saw, especially for our show, like when I saw, oh, Kyle Walker has a second family and he's doing a interview with the Sun. Okay, this is my wheelhouse, all right?
We're in Cooligan territory now, baby.
Because he, he got into a fight. I heard a rumor that he got into an argument with someone on the pitch because somebody made a comment about him having another family because he had just did that interview. So, I mean, if there's trash talk, it might come up. I mean, you watch a Comedy Central roast. Like, nothing's off limits.
Do you play right back, or is that what you said to your side family?
It's a dangerous game, bro. You can't be just having a second family and having everybody find out.
First of all, your own teammates are going to roast you. You don't think the other team's going to get after you? Bro, come on now. You don't think Ivan Toney would place a bet and you're going to take a swing on him because he's going to try to use it against you? Come on.
You got to get under anybody's skin. Yo, bro, we need these points, dog.
This shit is important.
So good on the Premier League at all times. I mean, they're doing their thing. So
they always find a way.
Let's move on to Major League Soccer. Obviously, MLS is returning this week. It starts on this Wednesday. What is it? The 21st. And I believe Inter Miami's playing RSL to start off the season.
But, right, and there's going to be a 19-year-old non-professional ref.
Okay, there's going to be, bro. You know,
I speak to your dad, dude?
He runs. He's great in the U-12 league. He's all right. He just has to deal with a couple, probably less egos than he has to deal with in the U-12 league.
Probably.
So this is there's a ref lockout. The MLS refs. The specifics are, it might pro. Be a little, it's not pro, it is the PSRA. So pro is like the representative from like MLS who handles the referees for their league. But PSRA is like the union of the referees. And apologies if I'm not getting it exactly right. I'm just kind of rushing through and paraphrasing. But like essentially the referees union, they voted and there was an agreement offered. And they voted, it was like 93% voted no. So they immediately go into a lockout. So MLS will be starting with, I mean, you can't put it any other way, kind of like scab refs to some degree. Just
amateur
refs, you know, definitely not the level of experience that the pro referees have. And so it's a little bit of a concern. There's a fear of what this season is going to look like. This is a messy Lionel Messi year, and it might be his last one in Major League Soccer.
And Luis Suarez and Busquets. I mean, this ain't the time to bring out the amateur refs.
So it's a little bit scary. Hopefully there is an agreement sooner than later. I saw Christina Uncle talking about this on Morning Footy, and obviously she's a former referee. And there. Look, when you hear the details.
And a lawyer. And you could tell because of the way she was
speaking. Why is every referee a lawyer, bro? There's so many NFL.
Yeah. Also,
why? How you go from law?
How do you end up a referee? To referee. You a lawyer? Are you making enough money as a lawyer?
You go to lawyer to judge, all right? You don't got to be a judge on the field. Why?
Also. Why pick two things everyone hates? What is everybody, wrong with you?
People are going to be so mad at you in every facet of your life, bro.
Damn.
So, look, there's like a lot of specifics of what the referees were looking for. Obviously, they're looking for an increase in pay, kind of better conditions when they do work.
Their travel conditions as well.
Travel conditions.
I think something about like, they have to be given more lead time with regard to matches, if I'm not mistaken, was one of the things. There's a couple of things, but a lot of it is just getting better work conditions for themselves, which I think a lot of us don't even know how much refs get paid. You know, I have no idea. If you told me it was $30,000, I'd be like, okay. If you told me it was $300,000, I'd say like, oh, okay. I have no idea.
So I was looking up, there was a Jonathan Tannenwald of the Philadelphia Inquirer has been reporting on this. And he has said, he put out a tweet. I'll bring it up in a second. But essentially, from his reporting, he said that a center ref makes about $35,000 a year. I don't know how accurate the numbers are. It's roughly every referee is essentially placed on about 30 some odd games per season. I mean, and you would incorporate like U.S. Open Cup and other competition, Leagues Cup, stuff like that. But $35,000, not a lot of money, but you're also not necessarily working a whole ton, but $35,000 feels pretty low for working in it as a professional ref. And that's why you still got to be a lawyer, bro. You show up to the stadium with your briefcase because you just came from a case.
Right, you're doing. I got to do paralegal work at halftime, so I hope you guys are okay with that. I got to make ends meet here, and I mean I'm not making fun of how much you're getting paid. It's just I think we all assumed it was a little more.
Yeah,
a little more than 30K.
I don't know how accurate that number is. Even in somebody was asking Jonathan Tannenwald in that Twitter thread, for a little bit more clarity, and he didn't necessarily provide it because that's the information he got. So I don't know the specifics, but the.
If you look on Glassdoor.com, it says the total salary range for Major League Soccer referees is $32,000 to $50,000 per year, which includes base salary and additional pay.
Gotcha.
So it looks like they make a couple thou every match.
So maybe maybe 35 is the base salary, and then they get paid extra for
per match
or so.
If they do like sideline judge is different versus like fourth official or maybe VAR.
I mean, now you're kind of when you hear that kind of money, you're like, damn, you're in Cooligan's territory. Okay, I mean, this is
y'all need to strike.
Yeah, I feel like y'all should be doing. Should we be striking with you? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, Doug. I can't. Yeah, refs. I can't wait for us to be paid.
Okay, give me one of them pro shirts. I'll support.
Yeah, I'll be a scab ref. Yeah, who cares?
No, dude. Look, I'm pro. You were pro union here, bro. And we've met some of these refs, but they're good people. They work hard, and you know when you hear I haven't heard all the specifics of what. The referees necessarily want, but I've seen they've been posting a few more like photos and of things that they have to deal with. I would imagine referees are not totally given kind of the respect that they deserve, and not from like how they're treated, but just like how they're paid. Let's be real, it's a shit job sometimes. You got to deal with a lot of criticism, and they should be paid for it. I mean, that's it. Yeah. Year over year, as much as we get upset about refereeing, I would take MLS refs over Premier League refs any day. I mean, overall, I feel that there's a little bit of sort of better control. There's it's just all the terrible sort of decisions and miscommunication and all these issues that we had that stretch of like a month of like nightmare decisions.
We just saw Holgate tackle
Mitoma.
Mitoma with the there's boot marks, there's stud marks on the man's mid thigh,
bro.
And the ref was like, "Nah, that's a yellow. That's assault.
That was
is what that
violence.
Is.
Violence.
That's handcuffs. That was not yellow. That's ridiculous.
If literally just you know a couple just if referees, they should have handcuffs on their hips just in case." Okay, somebody gets...
You never know, bro.
There might be a challenge
a taser,
like that.
Taser, at least.
Okay? Dude, you know, I mean, it's just referees after games just giving the same, like, sort of the police brutality responses. Like, I don't know. He had a weapon on him, I swear, I thought.
Yeah, I thought he had a gun. I was like, well, you know he doesn't because you check them before they go on the pitch.
I had to protect everybody. It was crazy. I'm looking at there was a post from the PSRA officials, and which is basically the referee, the Professional Soccer Referees Association, and it a quick thing. It just says. It says in quotes, says, "Did PSRA turn down raises of 100%? Why would they do that?" And it goes on to say that number is misleading. The 100% figure you may have read is for guaranteed pay, but that is not at all the same as total pay. One PSR member recently shared that their guaranteed pay in 2023 was only $3,100. Even a 100% increase on that inadequate amount would still be a ridiculously small number for a professional official working at the highest level in North America. So that's a, you know.
That's good spin, though. We offered them a 100% pay increase. Was that from $3,000 to $6,000? Shut up.
Why are you asking so many questions?
100%.
This is kind of
doubling.
This is the same kind of gotcha question that I expect from Alexis Guerrero's at Morning Footy.
Right.
Okay. I cannot believe.
And now you wonder why I carry around this taser. Well, you're about to
so I can attack people asking questions just like that. Okay. They need to be they need to be subdued. Okay.
Right. Ridiculous line of questioning.
Does this journalist have a weapon? I think he does.
He's got a gun.
His weapon is the freedom of the press. Okay.
Yeah. We just need to find ways to knock it down. Exactly. You know what I mean? Okay. Just smother it
okay,
a little bit.
People are getting a little out of hand with reporting everything. Yeah. All right.
Next, they'll be coming after you. I'm just here to protect you, folks.
Man, this is like, yo, are you Trump speechwriter, dog? Because you are crushing it.
Bro, honestly, if I didn't meet my wife, I would have been pretty evil, and I think I would have done a good job at that.
Okay. That's why I have to commit the crimes, because they might come after you. That's crazy.
Yeah. All right? I'm doing it so you don't have to.
I think we all saw the MLS jersey launch, and everybody, we saw the leaks, and we were like, oh, damn. Bro, how did EA do this? And we had to be a little bit low key about it, but I think everybody already saw the news. We were part of the. You see me wearing the new NYCFC 24/7 kit, but we were part of the launch.
In fact, give us a round of applause because we didn't leak it. Everybody,
we did not leak it.
We didn't leak it, even though
Adidas thought we would.
We could have. We very easily could have leaked all this.
Okay, I expected a like I said, a rogue employee at some finish line to put the jersey out and take the photo. You know, looking for clout. You know, it's always
these couple clicks.
It's always these Foot Locker employees that are looking for clout, bro. All right,
right.
And so,
they're backdooring now the MLS kits. They're on StockX.
So, but yes, the kits came out and we got to be a part of it. And we don't have enough time. We'll probably do it on Patreon and talk about all the details of like what it's like to be a model for an MLS jersey launch because it's a fascinating story. But it was a really, really dope opportunity. Just incredibly cool to get to do something like that. We've done a lot of stuff with NYCFC. This was specifically with Adidas. And just an absolute honor. And then on top of that, the Adidas store on Broadway and Lafayette in New York City.
The main Adidas store. The flagship Adidas store. Or the flagship brand store. And that's important.
Yeah.
Because I know the flagship like athletics stores on Fifth Ave. But, dude, if you go to Soho, Broadway and Lafayette, this is the center of the universe for us, you know, lower Manhattan. Mm-hmm. Bro, you go there, who do you see? Every screen, you see these two dumb faces right here.
Okay. All right. So you're welcome, Manhattan. All right.
Bro, I mean, accidents are going to double, triple, quadruple like, on this corner.
Oh, who is that? And boom, I just destroyed a family.
oh, damn. It could have just been two empty Ubers. But no, it had to be
careful. Be careful on the road, everybody. Do not let our beauty distract you that much. We don't want any tragedies.
And if that coffee truck moves, even more people will be able to get
there.
There
was
a
big coffee truck in front of our faces, but I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I would give it a ticket, bro. I don't understand why.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going on it right now.
I'm going to go sign up to be a meter maid and give a ticket so I can correct.
Did you know that if you call and tell them that there's a car illegally parked or idling or something like that, you get a cut of the ticket? Did you know that?
No, that's not true.
That is true. There's one guy who did it so much, they banned him from ever doing it again. He lives in Queens, and he made something like $40,000 last
year. Get out of here.
I'm dead ass. Dude. Just calling every time somebody...
I never heard of a professional tattletale and just be making...
Bro, my aunt would literally be making $2.3 million.
Just to tell on people?
Would be being carried around if all it took was to call the police and tell that somebody was illegally parked.
Damn, bro. Yeah, auntie could pay the, you know, Trump's lawyer fees, dog. That's crazy.
Bro, Tia Dinora. Tia Dinora would be showing up to my birthday in a yacht.
So we got to be part of it. Really, really dope. We went to a couple events, a fashion show. We got to see Remy Ma perform the other night at the Jersey launch event for NYCFC. So it's been dope. So
Marcus Samuelson was there. There was a bunch of models with over a million fans on followers on Instagram. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people. We were there. It was a lot of fun. They had a bunch of great food. It was so dope. Gianni Lee, who's the artist of the year. You know, every year NYCFC works with different artists. This is the artist they're working with this year. He's the one who told us that we were up at the Adidas store, so we ran there right after. And it's honestly, all jokes aside, it's a massive, massive honor. It's something that I never thought would happen. I remember a couple years ago when we did the Miami event for Neymar, the Neymar Fives.
Yeah.
I remember Caitlin, I can't remember her last name, but Caitlin, the freestyler.
Schrepfer, I think her last name.
Schrepfer, mm-hmm. That's it. I knew it was some German. I wasn't gonna try it. But remember, she got injured, but we ended up hanging out with her. She was really cool. She became a friend. A couple weeks after that, back in New York, I'm doing a pizza tour. This is how long ago that was. And I walked past the store and her picture's there on the wall, like in the window. Yeah. And I was like, bro, is this here? I took a picture, I sent it to her. I go, oh my God. She goes, yeah, I know, I haven't been up to New York to see it. This is so cool. And I remember thinking to myself, like, dude, I'll never do anything. Yeah. That gets me here. You know what I mean? Like, maybe even if Cooligans goes straight to the moon, they're not going to put us in the window of an athletic store. And we are.
We are
now.
Are we on the moon? I think we're on the moon, Alexis.
We're on the moon, dog. Oh, I weigh so much less.
that's your diet plan. That's the only way.
Yeah. All right, but weigh me on the moon, though.
No, it's not. It's not weight. It's gravity, yo. It's just gravity's a hater, dog.
Yeah, dog. Christian's the one flowing away. I'm goody right now, bro.
But there were a bunch of really cool jerseys. Any ones for you that stood out? Any of your favorites? Because I think this is probably one of the best collectively. There were a couple duds, but for the most part, MLS teams kind of nailed it.
At least the attempt was there. Like, you know, jokes aside, I'm not a Red Bull fan. But last season's kit was absolutely gorgeous. I believe it was the Daniel Patrick or the David Patrick kit. It was an absolute stunner. It was like sort of that yellow, red, and blue and green sort of tie-dye looking. Absolutely stunning kit. This year's, I'm not a huge fan of the red and black squiggly, static. Yeah, I'm not a big, big fan of that. But if you ask me, also Atlanta's, I think, is a complete miss. The color scheme is weird. Is it flowers? Is it flames? I'm not sure. But as far as I'm concerned, NYCFC hit San Jose Earthquakes. Absolutely beautiful. We both said we wanted one. And Vancouver Whitecaps, man. Oh my God.
Whitecaps is that. Yeah, definitely. That's on my list as well. That Whitecaps one. And we got to see it earlier before it really came out and got, like, held it in our hands and stuff. And it's like, yo, this is a, it is just a beautiful kit. Really, really gold.
It's
like
clean.
Gold trim on the blue. Mm-hmm. I thought they did well. I like Austin FC's also. I like that, like the cream color with the green. FC Cincinnati's also just a nice. I love the kind of orange and blue detail on the side of it with that cream color. And also
sports. Same with the Revs. Revs, I thought was a nice one.
I don't love the Revs one. I think it's a little plain, but
if you see it in person, okay. I think it's a little striking.
Sporting Kansas City, back to the Argyle, always yeah. A good look.
Classic for them.
Timbers, they crush it all the time. I saw Susanna wearing it on Morning Footy. So
wearing it. It looks really dope in person.
Yeah. The only like dud to me was probably Toronto's. Toronto's was just like, I mean, not much.
I don't remember it, if that gives you any idea.
Yeah, it's just a white shirt. I mean, there's like a little bit of like these lines kind of through it, but they're very, very like opaque. It's just a white shirt.
Maybe that's their punishment for how bad they were last year. Like, yeah,
they probably had a great design ready and they were like, no, you bow bow, no. You lose.
Yeah.
You lose your good design and a good jersey.
I'm so sorry. You don't deserve the drip.
Also,
I'm so sorry.
Chicago Fire, because this is I think it's a nice kit, but it's
beautiful.
I mean, people were happy that they went back to like the older designs that they had from a couple years back.
Yeah, why were they this dark blue color? They should be red.
So they should be red. And but it's just they just it's just. This is old. It's just an old jersey. I don't.
You know how bad fans wanted this. Remember their logo like 2 years
ago. Yeah, no, it's been a bad.
This is good. This is positive. This is forward motion, everyone.
Minnesota's. What do you think of Minnesota? I think you were talking about it.
No, it's a miss. It's a screensaver. I don't like it. Ali Krieger said it looked like a sonogram. That's not a good look. That's not okay. A good look.
Y'all be kind of dope.
They also hired a kit
with your sonogram on it. Like, that's a dope.
Yeah. If you're having a child, yes. If you're there to get drunk and watch the team, how guilty are you going to feel about drinking while you're wearing a sonogram? I think a lot. I think I would feel
that's
bad about it.
That's a fire idea.
No, they also just hired a 31-year-old as their coach. Granted, he was an assistant coach at Manchester United, but still a 31-year-old.
Right. What did you think about Columbus Crew's kit with the, like the Charlie Brown?
Oh, the Charlie Brown in the middle? Yeah, I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either.
No.
I think...
I don't love it.
I think...
I also don't love their badge either, so...
There's something kind of cool about looking like Charlie Brown. Why is everybody hate Charlie Brown all of a sudden? It's like a cool
because he's like a he's a mope. Nobody likes a mope.
I mean, look, I mean, they have if Charlie Brown won MLS Cup, it'll cheer him up. It'd be perfectly fine. I kind of
he would think he was about to win MLS Cup, but then that girl would pull it out right before he kicks it. All right, you ain't winning nothing.
This feels like one of those kits that is. As it's released, people are like, oh man, everybody's gonna make fun of us. But I think over time, people are gonna be like, yo, this is kind of a. The fact that it even reminds me of Charlie Brown is like kind of dope. This feels like one of those kits that in 5 years, people are gonna be like, yo, I wish I spent $250 to pick that one up. You know
what I mean? Whoa, don't forget at the end of the season, MLS gives you free shipping. If you wait.
Okay, so it's a good deal. Well, shout out to NYCFC who has one of the cheaper, more affordable kits. It's like $150, but it's like at least. What's up? Some of these clubs are just going crazy with some of these prices.
Bro, it's like, do you want me to buy your kit? You should be handing this out for free, dog. Get the whole city sporting this.
But no, shout out to everybody, the Adidas and people on the clubs. Like this, honestly, a really, really dope. A lot of cool,
thank you to Eric, a lot of cool and designs. Pam and
yeah,
everybody at Adidas, you guys.
Yeah,
are
this has
amazing.
Been just
thank
a,
so
a really, really dope, life changing experience. I'm getting, a lot of people been sending us really, really kind messages and stuff like that. But it's just a really dope thing to be a part of. And yeah, just grateful for not only getting to be a part of the campaign, but just like all the supporters, all the fans, everybody. Yeah, Miguelito here at Metal Arc, everybody who's just shown us a lot of support and helped us get to the point where we can even achieve. achieve something really cool like this. It's just a really dope milestone. And you know, again.
Yes, and thank you to my CBS family for giving me the time off to go to that shoot because it was pretty late notice. And a lot of levers had to be pulled, a la Barca.
Okay.
So thank you.
All right. So so shout out to everybody involved. Seriously, we appreciate all the love and support. Thank you again for tuning in. Brand new, another episode of the Cooligans in the books. Make sure you subscribe. We're almost at... I think we're going to hit 10K any second now on YouTube. So subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/soccercooligans. Hit the subscribe button right now. Subscribe to the podcast. We need just 28 more to get to 10K. So,
dude, this is crazy. We're at 9.97K. Let's go.
So help us get there. You could be the 10,000th Cooligan subscriber. So we appreciate it. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you have not yet. You can leave a review on Spotify. Bro,
I just noticed I wasn't here for the interview. I just noticed the photo you used for the thumbnail of Brendan Hunt.
Yeah.
It looks like we picked up a hitchhiker. Why'd you do this to him?
Bro, that's how he dresses, dog.
Damn, you couldn't just find a good photo of the guy.
So click on the thumbnail, everybody. That was another fun interview, so go check that out. All right, we'll be back on Thursday. We got a really special episode and a special guest on Thursday, so you're going to be just look for that. Be on the lookout. And that's it. We appreciate y'all, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you on Thursday. Peace.